Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
If you have your Bibles, turn me to Genesis chapter 41. Is it okay if I just come in hot this morning? Is that all right? Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. We're going to do a little work this morning. There's some sermon notes on your seat in your worship guide, and we'll jump in and get fired up. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46 says this: Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the field surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Verse 53. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was a famine in all the other lands, but the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." And when the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses, sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was so severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt. Say the world. All the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe everywhere. This morning, it is our fourth birthday, and we are finishing up a series called You in 5 Years. We said early on that God wants us to think in decades and not days. And this story that I'm about to break down to you this morning starts with a teenage boy in Genesis chapter 37 and ends up with a 30-year-old man in the text that I read to you. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about positioning ourselves with God's vision, because if we get God's vision, then we'll walk out a purpose that God sees. And if we're living in the way that God sees us, we won't be living day to day, which sets us up for disappointment. And over the last few weeks, we gave some focuses for our life over these 5 years. And the first one was, we said that we just wanted to be spiritually mature within the next 5 years, to have the ability to hear God's voice and to know his heart. The second thing we said was that we wanted to be physically fit and a healthy soul. I was telling everybody last week, my workout routine physically is that of like Dwayne Johnson. Y'all know The Rock. And so I know y'all looking like, that's the reason. And so we work pretty hard to keep this tight, you know? And so we said that as God gives us, y'all are chuckling, which means that what you see is not true. And so the reason why we said that we needed to be spiritually mature and that we wanted to be physically fit and we needed to have a vision for those things in our life is because when God gives us a vision, he's not giving us a vision for a day. He's giving us a vision for a lifetime. And there are personal visions that we need to set according to what God says that allows us to be restrained for what he wants us to fulfill. And this morning, I'm going to give you two more, and I'm going to break down this story, but I've got a little bit of work to do. So I'm going to need a few amens, a few you better go ahead and say that. I'm with you, Pastor, because I've got a lot of work to do, and I don't have a lot of time. And so I'm going to take us literally around this long mountain, and I'm going to forget about the text that I read for a while. Because really, contextually, it's standing by itself. And so I've got to take us all the way back to where we meet young Joe and bring us to the text that I read to end up on the two points that I'm about to give us right now. Are you with me? So let me give you in 5 years. I just gave you the first two that we went over. Let me give you the last two. You in 5 years, but focusing on the fact that God wants to give us an aligned vision that's thinking in decades and not days. Now remember, I'm going to go back to young Joe and end up at 30-year Joe, okay? Young Joe, 30-year Joe, so which means I've got some decades that I've got to cover with Joe. Are you with me? But I'm going to end up with an aligned vision on, here's number three, write this down. It's on your sheet of paper. To be financially blessed and increasing, and the ability to steward kingdom resources. Living to give. Trust me, I got a lot of work to do in a short time to get there, but we'll get there. Me in 5 years, you in 5 years, financially blessed and increasing, the ability to steward kingdom resources. Living to give. That's target number three. When you're ready for target number four, say ready. Wow, that's good. All right. So you need more time. If you need more time, say time. Snap, crackle, and pop. Time. Financially blessed and increasing. Don't worry, I'm going to repeat it. The ability to steward kingdom resources. Live to give. Number four. Me in 5 years, I'm impacting my world. Living to influence people to eternity. Me in 5 years, I'm impacting my world. Living to influence people to eternity. I stole this from my pastor on Wednesday night. We're bringing people to the party. We're bringing people to the party. Trust me, I got a lot of work to do, but I promise we'll get there. You in 5 years, we're impacting our world, and we're living to influence people to eternity. We're trying to bring people to the party. When you got it, say, got it. Now, let me do a quick Q&A for you. You ready? Quick Q&A. Just real quick, because I did mention the word finances. So I'm just going to do a quick Q&A. You ready? Fact or fiction? Money is the root of all evil. Fiction. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Come on, here's another question. Fact or fiction? Financial success is for people from a wealthy background. Fiction, okay. Number three, God created me with the ability to gain financial excellence. Now, I put financial excellence instead of financial success there because financial success rests in financial excellence. You with me? So here's what it says, because we are going to talk about money a little bit, but we're not going to stay there. But I want to see where we are, so that as we talk about stewardship, remember we said we want to be financially blessed and increased, living to give in 5 years. Here's just a couple of verses. This is what God thinks about our financial excellence. It says this in Proverbs 21:5. It says that the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those who are hasty, poverty. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. He has no sorrow with it. Last question. Here we go. Fact or fiction? Having debt is acceptable as long as one can afford it. Let's go. Write this down on your notes. Money is a resource used to fulfill God-designed vision that impacts his plans, his purpose, his people, his church, but it involves me. Money is a resource used to fulfill God-designed vision that impacts his plans, his purpose, his people, his church, but it involves me. Write this down. Money is to be dictated to, not to dictate. Money is to be dictated to, not to dictate. And with that, in Genesis chapter 37, we meet a young man by the name of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was well favored by his father because he was his loved son. Joseph was the only son of, well, they had a baby later, but at the time, he was a son of his father. His father had worked so long. He had finally gotten to marry the girl that he wanted, and she was barren. And the Bible says that she has a child, they name him Joseph. And it says that the dad loved Joseph so much that he gave him a coat. And it was a coat of many colors. And it said that Joseph loved this coat so much, and he was a teenager at the time. And it says that he loved this coat so much, and he wore it around, and he would show it off to his brothers who were his stepbrothers. And he would show it off, and it said that they really didn't like Joseph. One night, Joseph goes to sleep, and Joseph has a dream. Joseph has a dream that the brothers bow down to him, and he decides he wants to tell his brothers. It's in kind of like a moon and star scenario. And he tells him, he says, hey, this is what happened in my dream. It was like some stars and moon, and here's what happened. And they were mad at him. And the Bible says he dreamed again, and they were mad at him all the more. And Joseph just excited. I got this dream. And the Bible says that the brothers hated him all the more. His dad thought he was a little crazy with his dream because it was Joseph dreaming without being a leader. And it said that his brothers hated him all the more, but Joseph kept dreaming. As the story goes on, it says that Joseph is asked to go and find his brothers because they've been missing. And as Joseph is running to say what's up to his brothers, they see him coming and they conspire and they say, there goes that dreamer. We need to silence him. And so they decide that they're going to kill Joseph. But one of the brothers say, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. So Joseph is thrown into a pit and saved from death. I'm speeding up the story. Saved from death. And while he is in a pit, the Bible says that there is a group of raiders that come and say, hey, why don't we go ahead and buy the boy that's in the pit? So they pull him out the pit and they hire him to work in the house of a ruler named Potiphar. Now let me pause there. As you read the story of Joseph, and we will end up in Genesis 41, there are five seasons of stewardship that I want to walk us through. Five seasons of stewardship, whether it's in your money or it's in your influence. The first one is strapped. Strapped and struggling. Strapped and struggling. This is Joseph in the house where Joseph is with his brothers and he's got the coat, but he's on the outside and he's not showing why he's feeling the pressure and why he's not able to feel the advancement. He's trying to figure out what's going on, and he's feeling the overwhelming pressure of his house. And it's the same way with some of us in our finances. We feel strapped. Here, look at the stats. 14% of our family members, of our friends, of Americans live in poverty. $14 trillion of consumer debt in the United States right now. Paycheck to paycheck. The average house has $50,000 of personal debt. The first season of stewardship is someone like that struggle. I remember that. That was me in college. Anybody else? But it's some of us here today. Now, we did the fact or fiction. We asked, is it God's design for us to live in financial excellence? And I heard an overwhelming fact. And you might be saying, well, Damon, why are we talking about this? Because if we're going to have a God vision, then we have to give God permission to give us provision. But we also have to be aligned enough so that when he gives us what he sees, he's comfortable enough to give us what he sees. Are you with me? So the first season of stewardship is what we see in Joseph's life. Joseph is at home, but he's feeling the pressure, the overwhelming pressure of something he may not have asked for. Or a situation of him going, hey, y'all, I got a dream. You're going to bow down to me. He may have thought it was innocent, but they may have thought it was prideful. So it could have been something that Joseph brought on himself, a choice that he made, that he was just trying to make a decision for somebody to celebrate, but it ended up impacting him. It's the if you were here a month ago, I told the story of my broke-down car that I bought. Well, my decision strapped our family, right? My decision strapped our family. The first season of stewardship, or one of the seasons of stewardship, is that strapped season. It's when you feel the pressure and you're like, oh, I know that there's more. I've dreamed about more, but I'm dealing with this. The second season is the survivor season. This is when someone wants to take you out, but someone places you in a prison instead. I mean, in a pit instead, and you find yourself like you barely made it. You barely survived. This is month to month. This is that barely having enough. This is 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. 69% will struggle to cover a $1,000 emergency. Joseph had his surviving season when he was in the pit, and he's trying to decide, am I going to make it out of this thing? Because they just said that they wanted to kill me. They threw me in a pit, and I don't know what's going to take place. Have you ever been in the surviving season where you're just getting by? Yep. We asked earlier if God's design for us is to live in financial excellence, and we heard an overwhelming yes. In order for me to get us to the place where we are aligned with God's vision, we have to give God permission to increase us in our stewardship. You with me? Yeah. But this is the reality of where we are today, is that we can find ourselves in a pit season, and we're going, but God, I've got this dream. I was struggling when I told them this, and they weren't excited about it. God, I'm feeling the pressure, and then all of a sudden, I'm barely making it. How did I get here? I was once in the house, now I'm here. I was struggling in the house, and now I'm barely surviving. So the Bible says, this is where we picked up because I was rushing the story. The Bible says Joseph is in a pit, and while he's in the pit, the raiders come, and they pay for him because they want to hire him. And Joseph gets this low-end job in Potiphar's house. And it says that Joseph is taken to Potiphar's house, and this is what happens. It kind of shifts in the story. As you're reading 37 all the way through 41, it says that when Joseph gets to Potiphar's house, he finds favor with God and he finds favor with man, and everything that Joseph put his hands to began to prosper. So he's in a season where he is struggling, he's surviving, but then he finds himself working a job and he decides that he's going to give it all he's got. And the Lord was just dropping this to me. In this season, this was when Joseph decided he would put God first. He would put God first because, watch now, he's working a job, and he could have said that I'm just going to do this. I'm not even supposed to be here. I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. But the Bible says that Joseph said that I'm going to give everything I have so that God is glorified and God is honored. And it said that the result of him putting God first was that, watch now, that Potiphar said, there'll be no one higher in this house than you. I'll be your boss and I'll be the highest, but there's no other employee higher than you. See, I look at this and I see when we put God first in everything that we do, God says, then you can handle the capacity to carry the influence that I want to give you. Now, here's the challenge. He's serving in Potiphar's house. And while he's serving in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife sees a young leader. And she says to him, you fine. You fine. You can have all of this. Twan. I just added that. It's from a movie somewhere. She says, look, my husband is not home. And this is yours. And the Bible says that she did that day after day after day. Do you know why? It's because he stood out amongst the other staff members. Because he was putting God first. I can tell you that you become more attractive in your environment when you put God first. The challenge is that the enemy notices it. So he will send distractions to get you off sight so that he can put you back in a position of being strapped and surviving, because the minute you put God first, God begins to elevate you. So watch this. She goes and she makes a pass at Joe. And this is what Joe says. He looks at her and he says, why would I sin against my God by choosing you? Why would I choose something that would pull me from my vision that God's gave me? I have been through seasons of lack. I have barely survived. Now, since I am beginning to walk in what God has for me because I put him first, there is no way I'm going to be distracted by something that could impact where God is increasing me. I'm tying it to our money, but I'm using a practical story. When you look, he had a season of being strapped. He had a season of surviving. He put God first, and we see it that he's being promoted literally on his job. The enemy throws a blow and says, hey, don't you want this right here? In the practical, so many times we're putting God first, and we're giving God our tithe or our offering, and then that shiny thing comes along. And the putting God first, we have to decide, do I want that right there? Oh, and every day it shows up and we say, do I want to add to the $14 trillion in debt? I was once strapped, surviving, and now I've got a little bit of increase. Do I want to keep with God's vision or do I want to run my own tally again? Joseph has to decide, like, do I want her? Sorry, kids that are in the room. I see some of you. Sorry, parents. But he has to decide, do I want her or will God be first no matter what? See, once we decide to make God first, he has to stay first, even when the shiny object looks like that needs to be our desire. See, it's the same thing in our finances. The minute we decide to put God first, he has to stay first, because there will be things that will try to pull us from God's vision for our life. The dream was there when he was struggling. The dream was there when he was surviving. The dream is still there while he's putting God first. The challenge is if we're going to have a God-aligned vision, we have to give him room to work in our stewardship, which is both our money and our influence. Now, if you notice this, because of Joseph's faithfulness, his influence is also growing. Remember, number four was we wanted to be impacting our world. See, his influence is going through every single season. Influence with his brothers. Don't really like you, son. Oh, okay. Influence with the people who bought him. We don't like you either. We're going to put you to work. He's faithful in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's like, I'm going to promote you, man. Influence is growing. Potiphar said, nobody will be more in charge in the house than you will. If you have a problem, you come to me. Influence is increasing even while God is increasing his finances. So he looks at Potiphar's wife and he says, sorry, girl, not today. I don't think he said it like that. The Bible actually said that he ran away, and as he was running away, she grabbed his cloak, his jacket, and said, mm-mm, I gotcha. She went to her husband, and she said this. She said, look, that boy you hired, he came at me, threw him in prison. Joe's in the prison. Check this out. This is crazy. Joe's in the prison. And the Bible says when Joseph gets to prison, it says that the prison warden goes, you know what, Joe? I'm going on vacation. You're going to be in charge of all the prisoners. How many of y'all would like for the prisoners to be running 33rd? Anybody? Down on John Young? Huh? Nobody? That's what happened in the story. It says that the prison warden goes, hey, Joe, I'm going on sabbatical. I trust you. Because the story says that when Joseph got to the prison, he was hurt by it. I'm sure he wondered, am I going through the struggle again? Barely surviving again? But it says that he does this. It said he goes hard to work. And it says that God gave him favor with all that he put his hands to and everything that he had. And the prison warden said, there's nobody more in charge than you, Joe. And it says that while he was there, there was a baker and a butler who served in the king's palace. And it says that they had a dream. And it said that Joseph goes, hey, man, I heard you were dreaming. I don't know if this is ironic or not, but I had a couple of dreams myself. And God showed some things to me. If you need some help, I'd be more than happy to help you. And I feel like I got a little clarity. And it says that Joseph interprets their dream. One's going to serve again. And the other one, what you did, I'm sorry. You're stuck. In fact, you're stuck. And here's what I felt like the Lord was showing me. I felt like the Lord was showing me that after you move from strapped to surviving to putting God first, you turn into like a kingdom builder. You turn into a kingdom builder because watch now, Joseph is in prison. This is when you go like above and beyond. Look, a kingdom builder is Like, I'm going to give to God because kingdom building is in me. Like, I'm living to give. 77% of those who tithe, who put God first, go above and beyond. They decide they're going to give 11 to 20%. Like, they just go above and beyond. I realized that when Joe was in prison, that Joseph did something that others may not have done. Joseph had the gift of pulling stuff out of people. Joseph could have sat in prison and been comfortable, barely making it. But Joseph said, you know what? God's been faithful to me. God has promoted me here. And he looks and he says, I've got a gift that I feel like I can give to you. You've got a dream. What if I unlocked your dream? Do you see the correlation? Maybe I'm not doing a very good job. Joseph has a dream when he was a teenager. God interprets his dream. Joseph is in prison and says, I feel like I can help make your dream come true. Now, one of the dreams, sorry, but the other dream, hey, promotion again. Joseph said, I've got something in me that can help your dream come true. Joseph goes above and beyond while he's in prison to make sure that the dream of somebody else was understood. Let me break it down again. Joseph is in prison. He could have stayed to himself, but Joseph grew in favor with God and man. God realizes that someone beside him had a dream, and he goes, I can help you interpret your dream. The next level of a generous stewardship or season of stewardship is when we go, I'm going to build the life of someone else. Are you with me? I'm working hard for this one. Because this is the place where, look, these are stats. I looked them up from nonprofit reports. And they did everything from business to church to nonprofits. And it said that when people put God first and they commit to it, 77% of the people say, I want to take it a little bit higher so I can make a greater impact. Joseph says, I am in prison, yes. I am being promoted. I am running the prison, but I realize there's something in you that you need unlocked. I have a gift that God has given me to steward, and I'm going to use that gift to help make what you're dreaming about come true. That's Joseph in the prison. Joseph is in the prison, and he says, I've got something, which then allows us to move closer to Genesis 41. Because as Joseph is in the prison, one guy is elevated back to the palace. And while he's in the palace, the Bible says that the Pharaoh has a dream. The dream comes again, y'all. Pharaoh has a dream, and he sees these cows eating up some others. He sees this drought taking place, and he's not understanding what's going on. And the one who was promoted back goes, oh, hey, there's a guy who's in prison who he has this gift to interpret dreams. Pharaoh calls him in, and as Joseph is brought in, he tells all of his dream, and Joseph goes, hey, it's not me who interprets dreams. It's God, and I'd be more than happy to share what God has put in me for you. And he goes, over the next 14 years, over the next decade, there's going to be some season changes. He says, you're going to have 7 good years, and you're going to have 7 bad years. And he says, in those 7 good years, those are the 7 good years in which you should sow everything that you have and harvest everything that you have. And if you do that over the next 7 years, when the 7 years of drought comes, you won't face poverty. He says that if you plan well, the seasons of life that you walk through, you won't have to walk through again. If we sow now. So Joseph is sitting in this room, and he's telling the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh, now we're in 41, the Pharaoh says, Joseph, what you just said, we're going to do. And the Bible says that he pulls Joseph out of prison, he gives him a signet ring, gives him another coat, and makes Joseph the second in charge of all of Egypt. Notice now, he was the second in charge in Potiphar's house, the second in charge in the prison, now he's the second in charge of the palace. At every season of his life, not only did his financial status change, come on, but his influence also changed. Remember, we said the last three were that the last two was that we wanted to be financially blessed in 5 years, and we also wanted to be able to impact our world by being extremely influential. But Joseph was a teenager when he started this journey, and when his status hit, he was 30. God is always thinking in decades. 7 years of good, 7 years of bad, decade. Joseph looks at Pharaoh and he says, hey, here's what we need to do. The Pharaoh says, I'm going to promote you. And then when we get to 41, Joseph has already collected. And it said that the investment that Joseph made was more than the sands of the seashore. So much had been reaped from good stewardship. He handled the struggle season well. He handled the surviving season well. He handled the season where he said, God, I'm going to put you first. He handled the season where he could have held his gift while he was in prison, but he said, no, I'm going to bless someone else. Now he's in this season where he has so much that the world is coming. The world is coming, which is number four. We want to impact our world. And this is the last one, radical generosity. This is the 1%. This is where we leave a legacy. This is Joseph in the palace, and he's running the nation. So let me give you just a couple of quick things real fast. Let me give you some keys. You ready? I'm going to give them to you quick. Number one, some keys. Establish a God-centered vision for your money, for your stewardship, for your influence. Establish a God-centered vision. Number two, God must be first in every season, even in the struggle. God must be first in every season, even in the struggle. Number three, live to give. Live to give. Number four, sow and reap. Think multiplication, not addition. Think multiplication. He said, we're going to sow seed for 7 years. And the harvest that he reaped was enough to impact the world. And the last one, legacy build. Think generationally. Think generationally. In Genesis chapter 45, Joseph is sitting in his palace, and he looks out, and he notices some familiar faces that have come because they needed food. And he looks out, and he sees that his brothers are outside, and his brothers are in need of a meal. The same brothers that put him in the pit are in need of a meal. And it says that Joseph is shaken so much that he begins to cry. And after dealing with his emotions, he calls his brothers in, and he says this to them. He said, what you thought was going to take me out, God had actually sent me ahead of you. And he says, I want you to go get Dad, go get all of our brothers, go get your children, bring all of your stuff. I want you to bring it with you. And he says this. He says, so that poverty won't hit your house. See, when you and I think generationally, and when we think that we're going to impact our world, God wants us to be so positioned stewardship-wise that poverty would never hit your house. Never hit your house. God doesn't want us depleted with our influence. He doesn't want us depleted in our finances. And so over the last 4 weeks, we've spent time dealing with a spiritual vision for our life, dealing with a physical vision for our life. Now we're talking about our stewardship and our influence. At every stage of stewardship, God was also increasing influence. At every stage of your life, God is influencing you. And God wants you to influence somebody else. So as you are at home and as you're putting together the vision for your life, include the spiritual, the physical, the stewardship, and the social influence, because God has literally designed you and I to resource his kingdom with your money, but also with your mouth. God has designed you and I to represent him on the earth. And he's gonna pour finances into you so that the kingdom of God can advance. And he's going to use your testimony to bring other people to the party. Genesis 45, go get all of our family, because in this place of stewardship, there's a party. Are you with me? You in 5 years. Has anybody been putting together a vision for your family? Have you been working on your vision? Some of y'all are nodding your head like, yeah. My wife and I, in the first year of our marriage, we had those honest conversations. I have a friend that says intense fellowship, where your voice gets a little high. And it was around what we saw. It was around our finances. It was around our future. And we did all of the hard work in that first year. And now everything that guides us is a vision for our life. And so the reason why we slowed down at the beginning of the year is because we feel like if we can think in decades and not days, then we can really see the hand of God move in our life. Are you with me? Now, our next series is going to be fun. Our next series is going to be animated. And so thank you for allowing me to teach you over the last few weeks, because I was telling my wife, I felt a burden that we get it right. It's a new decade. And if you've been like me, sometimes you've had those seasons where it's been bumpy and you've got like, God. But now I'm looking back like, God, I'm giving you time to work because we're aligned with your vision. Amen?
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.